This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Welcome to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. Whoop, whoop. You're joining us for another episode. We're really glad you've joined us. We love you guys. We think about you guys. We pray for you guys. We're just grateful that you have taken the time to join us for another conversation.
Yes.
So
I said, yes, thank you, friends. And Jen's had quite an interesting week.
Oh, so my goodness.
She probably needs this subject tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I had COVID for the third time. And I know, right? And today really is, talk about a gift from God, the first day even that my voice has been clear. But if it gets a little wonky, folks, I'm really sorry. I'm trying really hard to keep hydrated and let my voice sound as good as it can. But yeah, it's been kind of a downer week.
Yeah, we even had a week off, if you notice,
well,
because our sweet friend here was just not feeling well. And thank God she's here tonight and we didn't have to miss another week because so we wanted to just to put that out there because Jen's voice is finally coming back. And if it has a wonky little period here and there, just know that it's that amazing, precious, not so precious COVID.
COVID, the vid, as somebody was calling it in a text chain I was in. They were talking to someone else. I was part of a group of about 20 of us that got it. And I kid you not, there were about 20 of us. And so we were in this this email chain, or this text chain rather, and they were calling it the vid. And I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting title. You got the vid? You got the vid? Yeah, I got the vid. At first I wasn't sure what that was. I was like, that's not short for virus. And I was like, COVID, duh.
What all the cool kids are apparently saying these days, Jen.
Get right? Hip. Come on. I know. I'm not hip. I could throw out a hip, but I'm not hip. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. No throwing out hips. We are too young for that.
Stop. Well, that's true. Right, that's true.
Oh, my gosh. Lord, protect us from any of that nonsense.
Oh, but yeah, so let's jump into the topic because I do kind of need it about.
Yes. Yes. So
introduce this.
Oh, no. Every week that we don't have an interview anyhow, we are praying and asking the Lord for a topic. And I just got done praying. And as soon as I opened my eyes, I heard power of encouragement. And so everyone needs encouragement. And this world is not great at encouragement. This world is really good at telling you how terrible you are at things and what your weaknesses are and all the things you need to do better, and you're not doing enough and you're never going to be enough. And these are not only what the world is telling us, but we're telling ourselves over and over and over and over. And so the power of encouragement is just so, so important. And there has been more times than I can count, honestly, that I have watched someone who was completely depleted of hope and completely just destroyed transform by words of encouragement from the Lord. I mean, just transform in front of my eyes. They're just all of a sudden the light comes back on. And so, you know, do you have any of those experiences, Jen, that you have really just seen a friend, a family member, just on their last leg and even had something powerful to say to them and how that changed? Is there anything just at the top of your head right now or example that you wanted to share?
Well, I see this a lot. So in that, I feel like encouragement is one of my spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. I really love to encourage people because I feel like there's so much negativity. There's so much things that we have around us of people just tearing one another down, the negativity in like television shows and stuff like that. So I try to be encouraging, and it is always just such an incredible thing to watch someone's countenance, their expression, just literally change when you remind them of who they really are and like how God sees them, and that they are loved and they're adored, and even to just encourage them through a hard moment. It totally can transform someone. I just looked up two verses that I was like trying to remember exactly where they were about just how important this kind of thing is. And the first one is Proverbs 18:21. It says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, the thing with that one is the tongue has power, right? You can speak life and you can speak death. And right. I think we forget just how powerful it is. I mean, goodness, I know how I feel when someone tears me down, and I know how I feel when someone encourages me.
Yeah.
And I certainly want to speak that into people. And even in how we talk, another one is Ephesians 4:29, which says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to lie. One of the things that I struggle with, and I don't know why, maybe it goes hand in hand with what my spiritual gift is, but I tend to gossip, like, and I'm not like going around talking to everybody, but it doesn't matter to who I'm going to, but do I get frustrated and pop off and gossip? Yes, I do. And that is a sin that I struggle with God all the time, but it's the power of the tongue and how we just need to be careful the things that we say, whether to the good, the bad, whatever, but encouragement is so important.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, you know, I think is a thing women struggle with. So I'm glad you said that. Gossip is kind of a common thing. I think that maybe we're not struggling with now, but we've at some point or another probably have all struggled with. And I think that it comes out of sometimes is us feeling insecure, right? Like, so we do that to gain power, gain control, things like that, or we just feel ooey, like, you know, like, I think that one thing the human race, we all kind of share in common, and we were all born with, is that rejection wound, you know, not feeling good enough.
Yeah.
So to, you know, it doesn't take much, honestly, for the world to really tear us down, because that is what's always there, is the rejection. We can go there in a second.
Sure.
But man, what a powerful gift it is to watch someone who already feels just terrible and to just say, you know what? You are amazing and the Lord loves you. Just to see a quick turnaround in someone's eyes. I have a quick example, but I was on a leadership team for this Crossroads camp. It was like a mother-daughter camp. And I had my sweet baby girl with me. And one of our jobs was to crown these mothers and daughters as they were coming out of this beautiful experience out of the woods, and just bless them. And so we just talked with them for a second, and they just had this, you know, amazing moment with the Lord, and felt like God had highlighted words about their identity. And when we looked them in the eyes and put a crown on and blessed them with that, what that was, they were weeping.
Oh, I mean, wow.
It was the most powerful experience. They were just in awe that they really were like good enough, and they were loved, and they were worthy. And, you know, all these, they were the light, all these amazing identity words that they don't often grab. They often grab the not enough. I'm the worst mom ever. I'm the worst wife. I can never do anything good enough. But to look someone in the face and say, you're an amazing mother. You're doing an amazing job. And I'm so proud of you. And God's so proud of you.
Yeah.
That's never what this world says, right? Like, it's like, no, you need to do more. Especially women, our laundry list is like, I mean, I can't even like count the things that I want to do better in my life, you know? Like, I can just add to that, you know, every second of the day, but I can't add, I don't have a laundry list of zillions of words of encouragement people give me on the daily, or that I give myself, you know? It's all the things that I need to do better. And I know not a word changes everything, but I know a word from the Lord can change everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A word from the Lord is encouraging, and it is loving, and it is just amazing. So it was a beautiful experience that to be able to look these mothers and daughters in the eye and do it together, just to show that as an example, like for my daughter to build women up. And for their daughter to see their mom just weeping, like, just because I told them that they were amazing. And maybe that unlocks something in them. Like, maybe if I tell mom she's awesome sometimes, you know, like, what would that do for her? You know, so it was such a beautiful experience. And something like unleashed from me that day that I was like, oh, I want more of this. Like, I want to do this all the time, because you don't realize how powerful it is until you truly see the transformation in someone's face, in their eyes. It's unbelievable.
It is a reminder of just how powerful words are. And I'm reminded about how God created everything. He created it by the power of his word. He spoke it into existence, and there it was. And he said it was good. And we have that same sort of power with one another, that we can speak life into folks. In fact, that verse, like I said, I just read in Proverbs, there's the power of life and death in that tongue. And conversely, I am reminded of how Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Like, he accuses, he uses words to accuse and tear down. And he is the father of lies, and he is the reason that sin entered the world. And so, I don't know, I'm just reminded of those two different opposing views, and how important encouragement is to speak life into people. And I can only imagine, as you were talking about the mothers and the daughters coming out, and how you were speaking into them, and the transformation that occurred. I mean, I could literally see that, and I could almost feel that tangible reminder of just how powerful that was, and how that meant something. They were getting life spoken into them.
Yeah.
And I think we need to just remember that with one another. If you can't speak life, then, I mean, don't speak.
That's so funny, because honestly, that's exactly what I tell my fighting children all day long. My three kids are literally fighting all day long and like just tearing one another down. And I'm like, all day long, I'm yelling, speak life or don't speak at all. I don't know if that's the greatest mom move out there, but I'm like trying to like stop them from like, and I try to tell them all the time, especially, you know, like I try to get to the level and tell them all the time, like, you don't understand what you're telling your sister or what you're telling your brother right now can literally take them into an adulthood. Sorry, couldn't speak for a second. And they could carry that with them, you know, for the rest of their lives and believe that.
Sadly.
That could hurt them forever. And I know it's just like a moment of anger and rage or whatever else that they're just spitting these words out, but I'm like, your words can hurt forever.
Amen.
And so I'm trying to get them to slow down and think of what they say and encourage one another. So sometimes I get really frustrated. Let's be real. Pretty much every day of my life, I get really frustrated and I'm yelling, speak life or don't speak at all. Because I would honestly rather them not talk to one another at all, if that's what they're going to do, is tear one another down. Just like Jen said, the power of life is in the, you know, or power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Like, we know this. We know this to be a, they don't know that as kids, but we know that because here we are dealing and healing from the wounds of our own childhood, where someone told us we were good, not good enough, or where we felt as a child we weren't good enough. Here we are at our age, you know, well into our adulthood, still healing from these very things. And so I just try to shut it down as quickly as possible because I don't want that for them. And I know they don't mean it, but folks, it is important what you say. So be really slow to speak.
Yes.
And think about it. Think about, is this worth it? Is this really worth the impact it could do to this person?
Yeah, I'm reminded of a thing that Dr. Carolyn Leaf had posted, and then I reposted it on my Facebook like 3 days ago. About emotion. So me being an emotions girl, I immediately was like drawn to this quote, but it was really good because it says, yes, your emotions are valid, but that's not permission to react to those emotions in any way you feel like. We are all connected and words and actions are impactful. So use responsibly. And I thought, ooh, that's really good. But that's that same sort of thing, you know, like, you're in the heat of the moment and oh my gosh, it's so easy because I've done it plenty.
Oh my gosh.
And regretted it plenty.
How many times? Right.
And it, and it's like, oh, I wish I could have taken that back, but I can never unsay it. Right. But yeah, we need to try. I need to try to slow down in those moments and not say a word. And, as we were talking about it, I was thinking, boy, there are probably people that they get so mad at someone, they can't think of a good thing, or maybe they're it's someone that they don't necessarily like or care for all that much, and they're trying to think of ways in which they should speak. Like, okay, if they're challenged to speak encouraging words, and I thought I would just remind whoever that is in that kind of moment that if you can't think of a good characteristic of a person to speak life into them, you can always go to the promises of God and how God says he sees us as his creation. And you can use that to speak life, whether you like that person or not.
Amen.
It's a good place to start. If you're so mad at them, or you like, they just get on your last nerve or whatever it is, and you want to be speaking life, start there.
Yeah. And ultimately they're God's child, right? So,
right.
You can always start there. Like, you are an amazing, wonderfully created, wonderfully made child of God.
Right.
Because that's facts.
Yep. Made on purpose, with purpose. Everything about them was deliberate.
Yeah.
Like, God didn't create an accident. I had a friend of mine that, someone that I know that was told constantly when they were little that they were an accident, and it was a ha ha ha, you were an accident kind of thing, but that stuck.
Amen.
And just remind folks, you're not an accident. God made you on purpose. Everything about you is on purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
And I just had rolling around in my head, the power of encouragement is amazing, but so is the power of forgiveness. So folks, we mess up. I mess up every single day, but I am humbled so often by the Lord. And if I can drop my pride and rely on the Holy Spirit to just nudge me into dropping my pride and asking someone for forgiveness, those words and those woundings, they don't have to be so big. You can fix those things that you have done by just dropping your pride and saying you're sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen my kids, like, I have lost my temper and have had to have talks with my kids like, okay, I messed up. I did not mean to say those things in the moment. And mommy is very sorry. How can we do this better next time?
What a great modeling.
Right, their faces light up and change. Now, do I do it every time? No, because I have to deal with pride like everyone else, and I'm working on it. But it changes everything. It does. It changes everything for those kiddos because they will get involved then. Like the last time I did that with my son was just a couple weeks ago. And he said, well, Mom, if I don't listen the first time, or it was like a multiple time situation, and where I had said the same thing over and over and over, he said, then you can, instead, you can take my technology away. And I was like, okay, all right, thank you. And so I've actually taken his technology away since then. And like, okay, Lincoln, we're trying this, you know, this time I'm going to take your technology away again, and let's see if this works. But that's just something he struggles with, is paying attention. And gosh, his giftings are amazing. He has incredible giftings that I will never, ever, ever, ever have. So we're all just doing our best we can. And it was really awesome to get him involved and say, hey, I'm sorry, I lost my cool, and forgive me, and what can we do better that it doesn't get to that next time? So just love ask that. For forgiveness, friends, you know, like we got to get past, like, we got to get out of our own way. Like this pride thing is yucky and disgusting. And it takes more strength and more power and more courage to ask for forgiveness. So if you're big and bad like me and you're super strong, then ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and
prove your strength.
I think that's so wonderful for your kids, though. I mean, I think about how I know so many people, and I am included in this, and I've had to relearn this, but I know so many people that were raised around the notion of like their parents could never admit when they were wrong. So then that taught a kid, I could never admit when I'm wrong. Like I always have to be right. And if I'm ever found to be wrong, somehow that's a flaw.
Yeah.
And there's so much power and so much freedom in being able to say, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wrong. Okay.
It's so good for both of you. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
It's so healing. And, you know, like as our kiddos, you know, we're talking about kids now, but anyone, as your kiddos look up to you, they see that they're going to continue to make mistakes as they grow older. And that it's okay. And they're going to still learn and they're going to still grow. And it allows them to not, hopefully, get in their way and be prideful and, you know, and be quick to forgive and quick to offer up apologies. So that's my goal.
And encouragement.
All the time. So I'm a hot mess over here, but I really, if I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit, he will nudge me more times than not.
Yeah, you have to be listening though, and it's a practice to be obedient in those moments too.
Amen. And sometimes it just is like, if you can't do it right then because you're still not okay, like take a minute, like it's okay, give yourself grace because the Lord has all kinds of grace for you. You can come back to it, you know, in an hour if it takes you an hour to cool down and really process through the situation. Take whatever time you need, because you would rather go into it with a level head anyhow and be able to give that situation a fair chance and not with a, well, I did it because you were acting this way, you know,
right,
like,
right, right, right.
Because you know? I've done that before too. That's,
that's guilty. Guilty. I've done that. Yeah. You're right. You try to justify your wrong actions. And you put it on the other person. It's like, you know what? Nobody made me act like that. I did that all on my own.
Yeah. Right.
I did it all on my own.
Just the sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to point out though, too. I mean, I like that you said, like, if you need to go cool off, go do that. I just want to remind everyone that being angry is not sinful.
Yep.
Feeling angry is not sinful. What is sinful is when you act upon that in a way that causes harm, that whatever it is. Once you act on that emotion and you do something, then it turns into sin. And that can even involve like hating your brother. Now, like when your anger turns to hatred, and because Jesus said, if you hate your brother, it's as if you've murdered him. So, yeah. But I wanted to point out, anger is not sinful. Right. It says, be angry, but sin not. Meaning when you take that anger to a sinful place, then that's when it's all bad.
Amen. Right. When you get angry at the kids and just start screaming your face off, like,
or your spouse or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So like step away. If you need to walk away to process that in a healthy way, if you can do that, my goodness.
Yep. My goodness. I know it's hard for mamas of little ones out there where you don't have the luxury of
that's true.
You know, leaving the space where your kids are. Trust me, I've been there and I know it. There's like great things you can do. You can sit in that moment and just close your eyes and do some breathing. You can start praying in the spirit, whatever. It's hard. It's hard when you can't walk away from the situation, and I get it. Read a book, whatever those things are to help, you know, start regulating, processing, getting your cooling down, counting. Kenda Moss in one of our previous podcasts talked about some great techniques about how to just get centered. Look at that. Those are some things you can do to just get centered and to take a moment while you're in the room, because sometimes you can't, you know, like especially if you're in a board meeting in your company and someone really makes you mad, can't really just explode there, right?
Like right.
Well, I mean, if you don't want your job, I guess so.
I tell you what I've had to do in meetings. I've had to like take in a breath and just hold it and then try to let it out as slowly as I can while not drawing attention to myself, obviously. Right. But that truly helps if I'm not agreeing with the things that I'm hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good to point out about that, about Kenda Moss. That's really that was such a good podcast, and I forget what number it was, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a great podcast. So go back and listen to that, especially mamas or working women out there, because, you know, actually it's for anyone. People with trauma, really anyone. Some, you know, situations are going to occur that are out of our control, and we need to be able to find our center and be able to continue on and do what we need to get done until we can get by ourselves and really process these things.
And really process it. That's right.
So we don't go back to our main subject. And so we don't tear people down, and we can be full and we can feel peace, and we can in return, give people those power of encouraging words, right? Like, so we can really build one another up, because really hurt people hurt people. So we're all walking around hurt, and we're not building up one another with encouraging words because we are so hurt and we are so desperate for encouraging words.
Yep.
So remember that when you are interacting with your brother or sister, they are just broken people too that need their encouraging words just like you do.
Amen. Amen. That's good. This is good, talking about encouragement. Yeah. So we're praying for you folks. I know, right? I love encouragement. I tell you what, I feel like for me, like I said, I feel like it's my spiritual gift, but the thing it gives me is I almost get a high.
Amen.
Off of when I get to encourage somebody and I can see that has had impact in their life and it's made a difference. Ooh, boy, is that like, that's like a drug.
Amen.
It really is. It's like a drug. It's like, I want to do it more. I want to do it more. Like I desire it so, so much to be able to do that.
Yeah, we think it's going to empty our cup, but man,
ooh, it fills it. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
It really does. So,
folks, get out there and encourage someone this week.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, even if it's someone you don't like or someone, maybe you don't know them, think of what you know to be true from the Word of God about that person. Amen. That he knew them, he knows them, he loves them, he adores them, he gave everything for them.
Yep.
So, amen. All right, friends. Well, we are going to wrap it up there. You guys take care.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2023, Parable Road, LLC.